You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Monday, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you had yourself a fantastic, relaxing, and fun Easter weekend. You are listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights with all the local and national experts, plus full coverage of everything happening this offseason, from the NBA playoffs, even though the Kings aren't involved in it, all the way through to the draft, free agency, training camp, and the start of next season, we have it all right here for you. Of course, the California Classic that is returning to Sacramento at the beginning of July, so we'll actually have some extra basketball to talk about for the second year in a row, and we'll get to watch it and see it inside the gorgeous Golden One Center, and hopefully we'll have days in early July. It's probably going to be a bit hotter, but hopefully we'll have clear and gorgeous days in early July, just like we had this weekend for Easter, because when the weather is that perfect, they open the massive doors of the Golden One Center, and it's just absolutely a fantastic place to watch basketball. The breeze comes through. The downtown commons is wide open and fun. It's just a great time, so hopefully you'll be able to get out there in a couple of months. Hard to believe we're already entering the end of April, which means May is just around the corner. Springtime is here. If you're getting some spring cleaning done, I am as well. And the Locked On Kings podcast and the entire Locked On Podcast Network is a great thing to listen to while you're getting those spring cleaning chores done. If you're like me and you have to clean and redo your backyard, listen to the Locked On Kings podcast or listen to anything Locked On Podcast Network. We have fantastic coverage of the NBA playoffs with Locked On NBA. Of course, all the other team-specific Locked On podcasts. If you're interested in some perspective of what other teams are trying to do this offseason, or maybe some of the teams that are currently playing in the playoffs, those local experts will provide fantastic coverage, so I encourage you to check that out. If you're a baseball guy, baseball season is in full form now. You can check out Locked On MLB. We have Locked On NFL Draft and Locked On NFL coverage of everything that's happening in football here, as the draft is coming up very, very, very soon. So lots of stuff for you if you are a sports fan here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and use it to get through those long hours of spring cleaning. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host, and I'm a multimedia journalist and reporter. Had a lot of great feedback from my conversation with Katie Christensen, or Katie Hunter is her real name now. Katie Christensen, her former name before she was married just about a year ago. She is the sideline reporter of the Kings. She's also a TV analyst, a former coworker of mine, radio host at KHDK. She is a phenomenal person and a great basketball mind. So if you haven't gotten the opportunity to go back and listen to Friday's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast where I had a conversation with her, do that. She is fantastic. I also have been getting a lot of good feedback on my conversation with Cowbell Kingdom's Leo Beas. I know a lot of you disagreed with some of the things that Leo had to say. A lot of you agreed with some of the things that Leo had to say in regards to what the Kings should do this offseason, or Luke Walton and his schemes. That his offensive schemes really seem to be a hot bucket or a hot button issue of conversation on social media. So if you haven't heard that interview, go back and check that out as well. That's one of or a couple of many exit interviews that still have to come. I'm planning on getting many more through the Locked On Kings podcast here over the next couple of weeks. Names and voices you will hopefully recognize here, as they've been on the Locked On Kings podcast before, so hopefully they will be coming back here, and I'm going to try and schedule some for this week as well. For today's podcast, though, I'm going to be giving out some awards, and nothing special here. It's not like anything all ramped up or anything prestigious. Basically, going to be giving away my season awards. I have three season awards, or rather four season awards, to give away to the Kings specifically, and then, of course, my regular NBA awards I'll share with you, who I believe deserves to win, like, for example, the Rookie of the Year, the Most Improved Player, the MVP, etc., etc. I'll do the NBA in the next segment later on in the podcast, but I wanted to start with the Sacramento Kings. Obviously, I'm not giving away the Coach of the Year because there aren't many candidates other than head coach Dave Yeager, and I'm not going to be giving away like Executive of the Year or anything like that. That's just not really feasible and necessary. But I have four Kings awards to give away. I have the Most Improved Player, I have the Sixth Man of the Year, I have the Defensive Player of the Year, and MVP. And these are all Kings specific. So I'm not saying that these guys deserve to win it over anybody else or everybody else in the NBA. I'm just talking Kings specifically. Who is the MVP of the Kings? Who is the Sixth Man of the Year for the Kings? Who is the Defensive Player of the Year for the Kings? And who is the Most Improved Player for the Kings? And I'll start with the Sixth Man of the Year, and that's going to Marvin Bagley. Even though many believe that he should have started, and I believe he should have started really every game over the final month or two of the season, that was a point of contention with head coach Dave Yeager. That probably was one of the reasons why he was let go at the end of the year. But to Dave Yeager's credit, Marvin Bagley developed well over the course of the entire season. And coming off the bench, he was a high-impact player. And what I mean by that is when he came into the game, typically the Kings improved. Of course, you could use that as reason to start him, and I understand that argument 100% completely. But Marvin Bagley would come into the game against typically the second unit on the other side, and he'd still play starter minutes. He'd still play around 30-plus minutes a night, and typically he was the guy on the floor down the stretch towards the end of games. And you know what they say, it matters more if you finish, not if you're starting, per se. But Marvin Bagley would come in off of the bench and provide immediate offensive and defensive production. And defense is one of the major question marks that we had with Bagley going into this season. And offensively, especially in last year's California Classic, we saw things that we knew he needed to work on. And it got to the point really in the second half of the season where Marvin Bagley would come into the game off the bench and he would provide immediate scoring and immediate defensive presence. He would also pick up the tempo. He would provide an energy and spark that this team needed, especially on the offensive end of the floor. And it got to a point where we got used to that production, and he was able to provide that consistently on night-to-night basis off the bench, which is exactly what the Sixth Man of the Year award is all about. That guy that can come in not just help keep the pace where it's at, but even improve upon it, improve upon scoring, improve upon defensive production. When Marvin Bagley came into the game, typically off the bench, the Kings got better, and that's what a Sixth Man is all about. So Marvin Bagley is my Sixth Man of the Year for the Sacramento Kings. Marvin Bagley is also my Most Improved Player. Now, I know this is going to catch a lot of people by surprise. Everybody would think the debate for Most Improved Player would be between De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield, and they've even been involved in the national NBA Most Improved Player conversation. But I'm looking at Marvin Bagley from the California Classic and from really his being drafted and the struggles that he had in college all the way to how he ended the season. Now, it's hard to give away a Most Improved Player award for someone who is playing their first year in the league, but I'm talking specifically from day one and game one to game 82. In my opinion, nobody improved more than Marvin Bagley did. We talked about the fears that he had on the defensive end of the floor, and then offensively, looking back to the California Classic, how he was really one-dimensional. He only went to his left hand. He had troubles backing down guys like Jordan Bell. He was getting pushed around and out-hustled, he was being out-physical and out-strengthed by guys that were smaller than him. And that is something that changed drastically, really, from the California Classic to the opening of this season. But by the end of the season, Marvin Bagley was putting on a clinic and scoring on some of the biggest names in the NBA at his position in the front court. I think Marvin Bagley's improvement throughout the course of this year was astounding. We could look at not just his numbers, but the eye test. Game by game, you saw improvement with the rookie that made us pretty confident in saying that the Kings maybe didn't make the absolute right choice. I know many are still going to make that Luka Doncic argument, and that's okay. But he certainly showed enough for the Kings to be pleased with their pick and for all of us to be excited about really how good he can be. The conversation transitioned through the course of this year from it's De'Aaron Fox's team and Marvin Bagley can fit in well alongside De'Aaron Fox to Marvin Bagley might end up being the best player on this team going forward, which is an exciting thing to think about with the ceiling that De'Aaron Fox has. And speaking of De'Aaron Fox, he is my Defensive Player of the Year for the Kings. Now, the one caveat of this is that you didn't see it all the time with him. And to me, that's one of the most frustrating parts about De'Aaron Fox's game is his inconsistency to give that defensive effort, but I'm also I'm sympathetic towards the fact that if you're playing an 82-game season, De'Aaron Fox only played or only sat one game this year. Remember, we had concerns based off his rookie season about him being able to stay on the floor and injuries and if he's going to be able to keep up that pace and play as physical as he does for an entire 82-game season. And he was able to play this entire year, but playing at the pace and at the effort that he plays with, it's not easy to give 100% on every single play. But when De'Aaron Fox, especially on the defensive end of the floor, got it into his head or was determined to get a stop, he was the best defensive player on this Kings team by far. I mean, you look at what he did to the biggest game that I can point to is when the Memphis Grizzlies and Mike Conley were absolutely tearing up the Kings in Sacramento. And in the fourth quarter, Mike Conley didn't score a single point because De'Aaron Fox absolutely shut him down. There were a couple of games this season, a handful of games that I could point to where you could see De'Aaron Fox saying, all right, you've scored enough. You're not scoring on me anymore. Typically, it came in the fourth quarter or down the stretch, which is when you need your big defensive guys to step up and really shut players down. And De'Aaron Fox has that ability. I would like to see it again more consistently with him. I would like to see him really develop that Patrick Beverley style attitude as an all on ball defender. But when De'Aaron Fox was focused and dialed in on the defensive end of the floor, there was nobody better on this team defensively. That's why he gets my defensive player of the year. And that leads to my Kings MVP award, most valuable player. A lot of people I know would want to give this to De'Aaron Fox, and Fox offensively had a tremendous season. His jump from his rookie year to this year has been astounding. I talked about it many times on this Locked On Kings podcast. As happy as I am with his scoring numbers and those improving, especially his three-point shooting percentage, his assist numbers skyrocketed this year, and his ability to run offense and facilitate and pass and find the open man and use his speed to open up the game for his teammates, that was a tremendous improvement as well, which is something that really, really impressed me. But I can't give him the MVP award. I got to give it to Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield, at the start of this season, we were talking about if Buddy Hield was a perennial sixth man at best in the NBA, someone that would come in off the bench and score for you, but that was basically it. Now we're talking about him as one of the best shooters in the NBA, potentially one of the best shooters, at least statistically. He's on pace to be one of the best shooters statistically of all time, assuming he has a long and good career. And he's already considered one of the best three-point shooters statistically in the history of the Sacramento Kings. Buddy Hield, the leap that he made this year, and what he became for this Kings team, that go-to scorer, that guy that they could lean on when they needed a bucket late or when they were falling short and they were coming or on the bad end of a run, Buddy Hield was typically almost always the guy that would get them that bucket that got them back into it. Buddy Hield had that game winner in Detroit. He had multiple stretches of just lights out shooting. Multiple 30-point games this season. I think Buddy Hield, the jump that he made and the growth that he has shown over the last couple of seasons has been astounding. And he has become the go-to scorer and the most consistent player on this Kings squad. Now, defensively, of course, he has his struggles and his deficiencies. And that's something that he definitely needs to improve on. But top to bottom, we knew Buddy Hield was a good shooter, and he continued that development of becoming not just a good, but a great shooter, one of the most consistent and trustworthy shooters in the NBA. But he also improved at his ability to create his own shot. I was impressed at his ability to get to the basket this season. And on top of that, how many times do we see Buddy Hield soaring in for an offensive rebound and a putback dunk or a putback tip? I was turning to Rasan. He's one of the media coordinators and media directors of the Sacramento Kings. I was turning to him towards the end of the season, and we were just shaking our heads, and I turned to him and I said, you know, as great as Buddy Hield has been this season as a shooter and just as a scorer overall, his ability to attack the glass and get put back buckets came out of nowhere. But he did it consistently this season. He had one or two attempts, it seems, every single game. I was incredibly impressed overall by Buddy Hield's development on the offensive end of the floor. He's not one-dimensional. He's not just a shooter and that's it. He's a scorer, a pure scorer in all facets. He's my MVP of the Sacramento Kings. Is he yours? Let me know. Tell me what those four awards for the Sacramento Kings are. Most Improved Player, Sixth Man, Defensive Player of the Year, and MVP. You can reach me on Twitter, at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Now for the actual NBA awards themselves, and we'll start with Rookie of the Year. Now, I know this is going to sting some people, but I have no issue in saying it at all because I absolutely loved watching him play this year. I think he is a fantastic talent. The Dallas Mavericks have to be thrilled with him as their centerpiece and their star alongside Kristaps Porzingis now going forward. Luka Doncic is worth every bit of hype that we heard about him. Again, it's going to sting in Sacramento for a while for some people that the Kings didn't take him. I personally am more than at peace with the Marvin Bagley decision based off of what we saw from him this year. I've been at peace with it for quite a while, and hopefully the majority, if not all, of Kings fans are okay with the Marvin Bagley pick over Luka Doncic. But Luka is so good for the game of basketball. He's so much fun to watch, and what he does for the European scene, I mean, what Dirk Nowitzki did for the European scene, what Manu Ginobili did for the European scene, what the Powell, or what the Gasol brothers did for the European scene. Luka Doncic is going to be held up to that standard, if not go even beyond it with how bright his future can be here in the NBA. We heard so much about him, that wonder boy coming out of Europe, and he came to the NBA and he made an immediate impact. Now, I'm very interested to see with Luka if he's able to continue that and build upon that next season, in a season that's probably going to have some heightened expectations, not just for him, but for the Dallas Mavericks as a whole. Now, a lot of that relies on what they do this summer and how healthy and how good Kristaps Porzingis is coming off of the massive surgery that he had. But Luka Doncic, that Rookie of the Year victory lap that he's enjoyed this entire season, is going to wear off a little bit, and suddenly the expectations of being a star are going to hit him starting in his sophomore season. I'm interested to see how defenses adjust to him and try and take away some of his strengths, and if it's even possible to take away some of his strengths. The sophomore slump is a very real thing in the NBA, and I'm interested to see if Luka Doncic goes through it, but there is no argument about it. Trae Young had a fantastic season as well, especially in the second half of the season, was really putting up great numbers and making a lot of noise, and I think the Atlanta Hawks have to be thrilled with him as their future and their centerpiece at that point guard position. But he doesn't hold a torch to what Luka did all season long. Luka Doncic is without a doubt the Rookie of the Year in the NBA. The Defensive Player of the Year, nothing surprising or shocking here. It's Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert was absolutely snubbed in the NBA All-Star Sweepstakes. He was very emotional about it, and rightfully so. He was not rewarded with the recognition that he deserved for being the defensive anchor that he is. Now, the Utah Jazz struggled this year compared to last year. Donovan Mitchell hit that very real sophomore slump like I'm talking about. But Rudy Gobert is so consistent on the defensive end of the floor, and he is proof that the big man is not lost in the NBA. Now, he can obviously get better as an offensive player, but defensively, if you know that that man is behind you, if you're a perimeter defender and you know that if you get beat, Rudy Gobert is there to bail you out, there's nobody better in the league than Rudy Gobert at that. I don't think it was as much of a runaway this season as it's been in seasons past. Defensive players have really emerged again and are gaining popularity in the NBA, which I think is absolutely fantastic. But Rudy Gobert is definitely my Defensive Player of the Year. Most Improved Player. Now, this is where I had to juggle my bias with my brain, my heart versus my brain, essentially. And yes, I do believe that Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox deserve to be in the Most Improved Player national conversation. If I could only choose one out of the two, I would honestly pick Buddy Hield. As great as De'Aaron Fox has been, and he certainly has improved, and everybody believes that he is well on that path to being the star and the leader for this Kings team that they've really so desperately needed. Buddy Hield, what he did this season was, like I said, out of this world. However, he and De'Aaron Fox have not done enough to take that award away for Pascal Siakam. He might be the second best player on the Toronto Raptors. And if Kawhi Leonard leaves, he will be the best player on the Toronto Raptors. The jump that he has made this season, how consistent that he is on both ends of the floor, he is one of the reasons why the Toronto Raptors are so good. He is a legitimate reason why the Toronto Raptors are possibly going to make it to the NBA Finals and try and give the Warriors a run for their money. Pascal Siakam had a phenomenal season. I think the Raptors have to be absolutely thrilled with the jump that he has made and his bright future there. Up north, Pascal Siakam is so much fun to watch, and he definitely deserves the Most Improved Player of the Year award this season. My Coach of the Year, and this is where full bias on display, but he absolutely deserves it. It's Mike Malone. What the Denver Nuggets were able to do this season, going from being eliminated from the playoff contention last season, literally at the very last game of the year, to being up with the Warriors for the entire season, holding first place for a decent chunk of the season, and then ending up in the two seed is astounding. I mean, Mike Malone is a phenomenal coach. He got the recognition that he deserved to be the one of the head coaches at All-Star Weekend. I love him as a person. I think the Kings firing him was an absolute travesty, and I'm glad that he's able or been able to find redemption there in Denver. And then, of course, just the growth and the development of the young players in Denver, along with how they've fit with the veterans that are on that team. I think a massive amount of that credit goes to Mike Malone himself. The Denver Nuggets have been a fantastic story this season. Mike Malone is the centerpiece reason for that. He is absolutely my Coach of the Year. And finally, the MVP conversation. Now, those of you that know me, follow me on social media, or listen to this podcast consistently will not be surprised that I am not giving this award to James Harden. James Harden's numbers, the numbers that he's been putting up this year, are astronomical. Numbers that we thought would be impossible to reach even in a video game. James Harden, scoring-wise, is astounding. And, in my opinion, very fun to watch in terms of just his scoring ability alone and his shooting ability alone. However, James Harden, to me, is terrible for the game of basketball with how he plays. The constant bickering and crying for fouls on both ends of the floor, the fact that he relies so heavily on getting to the foul line to open up his shooting game, the fact that he gets the line an average of 14 to 16 times a game, it slows down the game. It makes it tough to watch. And the Rockets are somehow the most and least exciting team in the NBA. The most based off the numbers that they put up, but the least based off of how they get those numbers. James Harden, to me, was, I mean, every single time, and it also happens to be the case that every single time the Kings played the Rockets this season, the games weren't particularly close, so I'm not going to dismiss that as one of the reasons that I wasn't interested in the game or entertained by the game that much. But watching James Harden play in person and on TV is just boring. And his style of play typically does not bode well for the playoffs. Now, we'll have to see how well the Houston Rockets do, and they're currently having no problem dealing with the Utah Jazz, which I think surprises nobody. But James Harden, the way he plays the game to me is just boring. And I don't like it. I think it's bad for the game. Now, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the way he plays basketball is out of this world. Now, I wish he had more of a three-point shot, and that's something that he's still trying to develop and will come with time, but Giannis Antetokounmpo is, over LeBron James to me, the most unstoppable force in the league. LeBron James can beat you in a bunch of ways, and he's above and beyond the better passer than Antetokounmpo is, but if Giannis gets a lane to the hoop, there's nothing that you can do about it. Literally nothing that you can do about it short of just putting your hands up and trying to plow him and move him aside. That's literally the only shot. And even then, you're probably going to lose that battle straight up too, even if you're bigger than him. Giannis Antetokounmpo was the best player on the NBA's best team, the best team in the Eastern Conference. The Bucks had a phenomenal year this season. He is an absolute star. He is the Greek freak for a reason, and he is above and beyond my MVP. Again, share with me your NBA awards and Sacramento Kings awards right now. Reach me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. Email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. I definitely want to hear them, see if you agree or disagree with me. Like I promised, more exit interviews are coming here this week on the Locked On Kings podcast, so be sure to stay tuned for that. If you want to talk NBA playoffs with me at any time, please do on social media or via email. I'm also getting emails already from people that are interested in being on the next Fans Only podcast, so if you are like that, shoot me an email and I will get you on the list and make my selection of guests for that podcast here in the coming weeks. The next one will probably be in mid to late May, maybe early May. We'll see how everything plays out. If you have the time to head over to the iTunes store or wherever you listen to this podcast, if there's an area to leave a review, please do that. That helps us out a ton. And of course, if there's anything you want me to discuss and talk about and cover over the course of this summer, at any time you can reach out to me. That's always fair game. I'm considering doing a mailbag as well. That's something that Jason Ross used to do that I haven't done yet. But if that's something you'd be interested in me doing here on the Locked On Kings podcast, please let me know. Again, send me your awards for the Kings and the NBA as a whole. Would love to see them and get into conversations with you about them. Even if you disagree with me, that is absolutely fine. And we will be back for another episode of the Locked On Kings podcast tomorrow. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast. My name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.